Hi, Debbie.
Well, hello, Patty. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I am so happy to be speaking with you again, and this time it's not on a TCM Film Festival red carpet. That's normally where we chat, is at TCM Film Festival.
Thank you. This is comfortable.
This is, yes, you can be comfortable. You can put your feet up. You can have your hair in curlers. You can do whatever you want to do.
It's great. I love it.
Well, something else that's really great, Patty, is number one, the fact that you're still working. You continue to work on stage and screen. So that thrills me, and I know that it thrills all of your devoted classic film fans who can't get beyond Rhoda.
Well, it's such a miracle, you know, really, that you, when you think about it, you know, and things have come and gone, you know, in the middle, and downtime as far as work, really, you know, but I feel like I have a resurgence going on in these later years, mostly because of the play that I've been doing with Dan Lauria, you know, the Just Another Day.
Yep.
Yeah, and we've been doing it in a lot of places. So, it was a tough one to learn and execute. And so that felt really special. And with that, I happened to be in New York doing that, and I went to Bobby Moresco's class, which he held at the AMT Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And in that class was Tara Westwood and Nelson Avedon, and I was able to see the short film originally.
Ooh.
That was made. Yeah. And then I learned from Tara, who contacted me and said, would I want to play her mom? They were developing it into a longer film, to a complete film. And I said, I would love to play mom. So that's how that came about.
And, wow.
Yeah. And so I was in New York. I went to New York. I think I went there special for that. And Paul obviously directed it, and it was such an enjoyable, we did it in just a few hours, you know, at a location or a place, a house, and it was such an enjoyable time. He made it so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
To do what we were doing. That's all I can say. He was terrific, and Tara and Catherine, I have to mention, was my granddaughter in the scene. And all I really have in the film is that they show a little background on Tara's character.
Yeah.
And it was, so it deepens the audience's appreciation of her life, you know.
You are so enchanting, though, in this role. And what's so wonderful, because I spoke with Paul 2 days ago, or three.
Oh, okay.
And he raved about you. Number one, your performance as Grandma is incredible. And it ties in, and it really, it's very elegant and filled with grace, Patty. Because here is a woman that it's been intimated earlier in the film by Adriana and Maya, that Grandma, you know, she's not quite all there, you know, some dementia setting in. But then you get on screen and you just light up. And as that photograph is in your hand, and then when you're holding up the little coat, absolutely enchanting, Patty, just enchanting. And
wow.
I must tell you, because I asked Paul, I said, he really lucked out getting you, a legend like yourself, for this film. He praised you from beginning to end. He called you, your involvement, quote-unquote, Patty, a real godsend. He praised your emotional authority, your technical precision, that you were textually perfect, and you were fully present, rock solid on your lines, totally dependable. And he made a big point of saying, having worked with actors well into their 90s, he knows the risks that can accompany age in an actor with not remembering lines or performance or whatnot. He had none of that with you. He raved about you.
Oh, that is lovely to hear. And you're right. It is it's a challenge when we tell the truth. You know, not everybody likes to admit to it, but it's a lot harder when you get older because, you know, it just is. And also the process has changed so much when you, for instance, television, a lot of times, you know, that's what's so nice about theater is that you get rehearsal time and you get to do it over and over and it gets in your brain and it's there and, you know, that kind of thing. But with the way the business is now, it's much more instant, delivery, you know, and so that can be nervous making for people who are already, you know, having trouble remembering people's names, you know.
So
I believe that anyone older, if they're being honest, would say that's the number one fear that they have about failing, you know, is not remembering. And and so I'm blessed at this point in time, for whatever reason, not to be suffering from that right now.
I have to wonder.
I've had times younger that I went through that fear. You know, it's not necessarily age related. Actually, it could just be fear. You know,
like the day that you start forgetting where you put your car keys in the house, and if you do it 3 or 4 times in a row, then you start wondering, oh my God.
Is it over? Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
But now...
Or you walk... Yeah, anyway, moving on. Yeah.
But now, I'm curious, because you're still doing theater, and of course, doing the play, you know, Just Another Day that Dan wrote, does that help keep you sharp? By doing theater concurrently while you're also doing television and some film work.
Oh yes, it's a wonderful thing. I just, and the dialogue in the play is complicated. So, but it is rhythmic in a funny way. So, if you can remember lyrics to a song, you can learn Dan's play. That's what I think.
Did he do this intentionally just to torment you or to keep you on your toes? Because knowing Dan and seeing the two of you together and like talking to both of you on the red carpets and all, I could see him intentionally doing this to really force you to stay on your game and to outshine him, as a matter of fact.
You know, I can't say that because originally I wasn't the one playing the part. So, you know, it started out as a reading and then it went to another place as a reading and there was Jody Long was attached to it at one point. And then I think because she became LA president, she was involved with the union and the negotiations and all that going on. And it made her unavailable for one of the gigs that they had planned. So with that, someone else got hired to do it. And that person had difficulty and had decided she had other commitments. So I wound up coming in with book in hand. We did it at Shadowlands Theater up in Ellenville, New York, and I was book in hand and stepped in to do the role with Dan. So with that, I owe it to my sister, really. My sister was in the audience. She said, "You have to memorize that." She said, "That's a good part for you." I use it as an exercise. And she said, just take, she was used to be a teacher, so she said, take 5 pages at a time and just go from there and take your time. You don't have any plans for the future of it, you know, but I know something's going to happen with that. That was my baby sister.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that funny?
That is hilarious.
In doing so, it turned into a wonderful thing, yeah.
Oh, my God. But I see how you juggle this stuff. There aren't too many people at 80 years young that can juggle everything that you're juggling, still juggling television and film and theater. And you do it so seamlessly. And as I said, it's watching you in Stop Time as Grandma. There is grace to your performance. And I think that is inherent within you, Patty, is that grace.
Oh, thank you, Debbie. God, my head is swelling as you are saying these.
Yeah.
I never think of myself as particularly graceful, you know? So it's wonderful that I can play it.
Yes, you certainly can. Curious, did you, because as you just pointed out, everything is so immediate in television, and here we have an indie film, low budget, no budget, micro budget films. Did Paul, was he able to give you rehearsal time for your scene?
Oh, yeah. Well, we ran it. We did our rehearsal before he, you know, we did some of our rehearsals on film, you know, on tape or whatever. And, I think all three of us knew what we were pretty much doing.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, that was helpful. So we did, we worked it for a while. I think that I could appreciate, I seem to be doing a lot of people with dementia, you know, and because that's what's written right now for older people, oftentimes, you know, and it's not something I'm unfamiliar with from family. And so it feels very real to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not reaching out to be someone else. I can kind of appreciate, it's hard for me to describe, but I it's very easy for me to slip into that kind of role. Not particularly because I'm having it, but just, I don't know why, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. But
I think it just, as you get older, I think it's, and you know people that have those dementia issues, I think you're cognizant of it, and you kind of absorb that just by seeing these people, especially family members or something, and being around it.
Right. And the fact that their emotions sometimes are inappropriate, you know, and the repetition, the writing of it was really good, the writing of the scene.
Yeah.
Because she didn't have all her, what would I call it? Particles of speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was missing some words in her memory of what she was trying to express. You know, so things like that. It was quite smart how it was written.
That's one of the beautiful things about your performance, Patty, is because we get that sense initially when Adriana and Maya are sitting down with Grandma, but then put the photograph in your hand, and you light up, and all of a sudden, all the synapses are connecting, and you are transported right back to 1950 or whenever the adoption of Adriana occurred. But then the coat comes out, and you are so alive. But then slowly things dissipate. So the synapses are all there. They just need something to trigger them. And your face is so beautiful in that scene. Paul really captures that, the change of emotion on your face. And it's the joy of remembering the past and feeling like the present. And I think part of it is also the joy of, hey, I remember this. Mm-hmm. But curious, because number one, you started out television, film, black and white. Here you are again all these years later, and we're back to doing black and white cinematography in your film.
Yep. Well, I know. It's my favorite because I don't know why. It's just, to me, it's the color doesn't get in the way, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, black and white, I think, is beautiful because you really see all the emotional shades of gray that come through in the visuals versus color. It's color upon color upon color, and that triggers different senses, and it can get in the way of the performance and the dialogue.
Yeah, I know. I was really pleased to know that it was black and white, you know. Anyway. and it was fun with the clothing. I always have fun about clothing. And I saw how Tara had cleverly mixed patterns, you know, of different colors so that certain things would show up a certain way in black and white. Mm-hmm. And I remembered all that from childhood, you know?
Yeah, because it amazes people who aren't familiar with black and white that, it's black and white, and they think they don't realize how color plays into that. It's like watching the Addams Family TV series. The whole it's in black and white, but the whole place is pinks and reds to get the black and white to show up correctly.
Yep. And red used to be used for a gray often. You know, so I remember that specifically. I think it was sort of gray. Anyway, So it is true. It feels like I came full circle now.
Look at that. Now, what is it that you look for now when somebody approaches you about a role? Is there something specific that you look for?
I can't honestly say that. Just that I think there's always some reason you feel like you can do it. There's some hook that happens where you think, it could just be a line in it, or it could be the character itself, or it could be something you know in your heart that you can produce, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes at this late date, you know, you're happy to get a job. You know what I mean? So oftentimes I try to look with a positive attitude, you know, about anything. This is a side thing, but I'm doing it's so much fun. I'm voicing a video game. I play, and it's a game called, it's called Cookie Run Kingdom, okay? And it's Chinese. Came from China, and they just celebrated their fifth anniversary of the show, so it was a big deal. And I play a cookie. I play Dark Enchantress Cookie. I am the bad cookie.
Oh, and,
of course,
you know, of course.
And so that's the thing that I'm voicing right now, and it is so much fun to do. You know, it's a world that didn't exist when I was young and working.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
My God.
Just a lot of little different things. And then I realized, my God, I'm so old now that I did radio, you know? holy cow, you know? And it was, I could barely read, but I did do radio, and I think of all the different twists and turns, and then I've done things that were shorts on the internet. You know what I mean? It's like so many different avenues these days. But so I'm coming back to your question. I know you said, what is it that makes me want to do something?
Yeah.
There are always different reasons, you know, for different things. So, and you have to watch sometimes, you know, that you're not just poo-pooing something because you're afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that's worth jumping into, you know, because you are. Sometimes the outcome can be really satisfying, you know.
And this is why you are still sharp as a tack. And why Peter was so complimentary, because you got your hands dabbling in everything.
Thank you, Debbie.
Your mind doesn't have a chance to slow down, Patty.
Okay. That's good to hear.
I have to ask you, am I going to see you at TCM Film Festival in April this year?
Wouldn't that be nice? I haven't heard anything about it. Because I really don't, I don't have a publicist, you know, or any of that stuff. So usually those are the people that go to work to get you into certain things,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless you're invited because you're, you know, Meryl Streep, you know. But it would be lovely. Wouldn't that be nice if that happened?
Everybody, the fans, when you were there for the screening of The Bad Seed and all, the fans went crazy. Yeah. They were thrilled.
Oh. It's so amazing that that movie has had such a life. It's wild, you know?
And in different incarnations.
Yeah, it's true. And so anyway, I'm amazed by that, and it's become kind of a thing, you know, because when there's a showing of it or something, you know, I have to say this, you know, all the people who feel they're, you know, they live against the grain, you know,
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Are great fans of it. So a lot of times I have to say lines from the film, you know. but anyway, it's had a life that's amazing to me. It's so old, you know. It was done in, the film was actually after the Broadway show,
mm-hmm.
which I did, and that was 1955 or 6 or
yeah,
something like that. It's so old, but
people love it.
Still has a life. Yeah, it's crazy.
And I have to tell you, I actually did watch The Bad Seed again over the Christmas holidays. Don't ask why I would watch that over the Christmas holidays, but I did.
I know. Just because you can.
That's just it. Just because I can. I hope I get to see you in April at TCM again. It would be so lovely.
I hope so.
But now, are you going
to... I guess I could just show up.
Of course you can. I'm curious. Now, I know the premiere of Stop Time is this Saturday. Are you going to go to the premiere?
I can't because I'm here. And I actually, the thing I mentioned about the cookie.
Yes.
Made it impossible. Made it impossible for me to travel back there. So, but I know it's Dances. I'm going to say it's Dances with Films, New York City.
Yep.
Festival, 7 p.m. January 17th, and everyone else will be there.
Well,
and I feel bad I'm not.
But who knows? Because I even mentioned to Paul, will he submit the film to Dances with Films Los Angeles, which is later this year? And he hadn't thought about that. Now he's thinking about that. So I'm hoping he does it and it's here so I can see it on the big screen. And not my 50-inch TV.
Okay.
And then if it's here in L.A., you can certainly come.
Oh, that would be excellent.
If you're not voicing cookies.
Well, I could voice the cookies and then drive over real quick. You know what I mean? Yeah, and it doesn't come up that often. It just conflicted.
Oh,
you know.
So, yeah. Before I let you go here, this is so wonderful getting to chat with you again, Patty. We could do this all day. I'm curious, is there anything else coming up that you have in the can already that we can look for?
Actually, no. There's nothing that I know that I'm going to do. You know, there's an opportunity to do the play again in Ireland, and which we had done already. We did a fundraiser. The producer of that was Elliot, and he had us go as a fundraiser for Alzheimer's at the Trinity College, and it was very successful. It was nice. But we may have an opportunity to go back to Dublin and have a little run somewhere. So that's kind of hanging in the wind. It could be sometime in February into March is what we hear.
Ooh.
But nothing is solid yet, you know.
Well, I'll cross my fingers and toes that you get another trip to Ireland out of this.
Wouldn't that be great? I had never been. And God, the people were so nice. That's all I can say.
Aww.
The people were great people. It's just so they don't seem to have that nervous thing about, you know, I don't know what it is, competition maybe or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The American thing. So the winning. They don't seem to be into that. They just are so welcoming and friendly and really do listen to you when you're talking and you listen to them when they're talking, and they all, you know, meet at a pub, you know, on their way home, and they're just wonderful people, you know. So it would be fun. I hear a neighbor outside. It would be fun to go back. You know,
oh,
it was a good time. Yeah.
Well, I hope you get to go back, you know.
I hope so.
Oh,
yeah.
Patty, this has been beyond delightful getting to speak with you again.
Nice.
As I said, I love your performance. I love this film, Stop Time. And the grace and elegance that you bring to this.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
I
really appreciate it.
So poignant, so beautiful.
Aww.
And I am sure everybody is going to fall in love with this film.
Ah, good. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah.
Let everyone fall in love with it. Let it get a distribution deal so everybody can see it. All your classic film fans can see it. And maybe push Rhoda to the back of their mind for a few minutes.
Yeah. Funny. I know. Well, it's all good, right?
It's all good.
All good.
Patty, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today.
And thank you for wanting to.
Oh, that's always. Always.
Yep.
And fingers crossed, I'll see you in April at TCM.
I hope so. I have a dress already.
All right.
I'm ready.
Oh, I don't.
Okay.
You go have a wonderful rest of your day and have fun.
Yes.
Have fun doing cookie voicing this week.
Thank you so much. It is fun. It's a little campy, you know, so it's kind of fun.
Oh.
You know,
well, that's the name of the game. Mean. Have fun.
Yep.
Thank you, Patty.
Have a beautiful day yourself.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.